If the Apostle Paul was standing before us, he would say, just like he does in 2 Timothy, don't give up, don't ever give up. He writes this letter to encourage Timothy to keep running the race with endurance, from Hebrews. To run the race that is set before him, and we need to run this race set before us. Like Timothy, yeah, we're going to get disheartened. Like Timothy, yeah, we're going to want to bail out at times. But Paul is encouraging us, like he does to Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. Paul pictures the Christian life as a race or a fight. It's not a walk in the park. It's a race or a fight. Think about what a race or a fight looks like. It's hard work, it's sweat, it's focus, it's purpose, it's intentionality. Like Timothy, we need to remember, we need to be reminded of this, right? There are going to be times we want to quit, but we need to remember that line, don't give up, don't ever give up, fight the fight. We're in a fight for our hearts and our minds.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor Mike Hurd.
We're going to be looking at a passage in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Good morning to you at home. Hello, everybody. Give you a chance to get there. Fell in love with 2 Timothy when Joe asked me to preach. I kind of pray and I look through the scripture and this passage just jumped out at me. I specifically fell in love with verse 10. And so we're just going to walk a little bit through it in 2 Timothy. And hopefully be challenged and blessed this morning and hear from God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, beginning of verse 1. But I understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. This is getting good, right? not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. You should underline that. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jan and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. This is my favorite part of the passage. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness. Father in heaven, Lord, just speak to us from your word. Lord, crush this flesh, and may your Holy Spirit reign. Give us ears to hear, Lord, from you, that we might be changed for your glory. We love you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, please be seated. Please be seated. Like I said, I was praying through the Word of God, and God just kept bringing me back to specifically verse 10. I just fell in love with it, and I really wanted to dig in and find out what it meant, not only to Timothy, but more so to me and to us as believers. 2 Timothy, as I read through it, I just fell in love with it because it's a letter of Paul to his protege, Timothy. And it has so much significance to him and to us. Quick question. Who here, right, the Christian life has so much joy, doesn't it? Amen? The Christian life has so much joy in it, right? When you think about the truths of what we have in God, I don't know how a thanksgiving or an appreciation doesn't well up in your soul. It should just be natural to us to have this joy. But also, has anybody ever struggled in their faith? Has anybody ever felt like quitting? Right? And so Paul understood that. Paul understood that. And so Paul writes this beautiful, he pens this beautiful letter to Timothy to help him, understanding that as his protege, as his young protege, that, yeah, he's going to face struggles and he's going to sometimes want to just bail out. I want to use this as an example. Jim Valvano, somebody's ready to praise back there. I like it. Somebody's ready to praise. So Jim Valvano was a men's basketball coach at NC State when they won the national championship in 1983. It was a huge upset. They beat Houston, fly slamma jamma. They won the national championship, Jimmy Valvano. Very famous for that, but he was more renowned for a speech that he made at the ESPYs in 1993, 10 years later. Jim was in a battle for his life. He had cancer. And if you ever saw the ESPY speech that he gave, it's an amazing testimony to faith, to sticking to it. In the ESPYs, he gets up out of his chair as they announce him. He gets up out of his chair. Two men had to come alongside him as he's trying to get up. And he gets up, right? He makes this famous speech. And at the very end of the speech, he says, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up." It's amazing what a testimony. 2 months later, he passed. But what a testimony of what it means to not to quit. And I think the Apostle Paul had the same mindset. If he was here today, if the Apostle Paul was standing before us, he would say, just like he does in 2 Timothy, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." He writes this letter to encourage Timothy to keep running the race with endurance, from Hebrews. To run the race that is set before him. And we need to run this race set before us. Like Timothy, yeah, we're going to get disheartened. Like Timothy, yeah, we're going to want to bail out at times. But Paul is encouraging us, like he does to Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. Paul pictures the Christian life as a race or a fight. It's not a walk in the park. It's a race or a fight. Think about what a race or a fight looks like. It's hard work, it's sweat, it's focus, it's purpose, it's intentionality. Like Timothy, we need to remember, we need to be reminded of this, right? There are going to be times we want to quit, but we need to remember that line: don't give up, don't ever give up, fight the fight. We're in a fight for our hearts and our minds. So let's look at 2 Timothy and see how Paul encourages 2 Timothy. And he does it in verses 1 through 9. We see Paul's warning to Timothy. If you're taking notes in the bulletin, you'll see a place where 3 points. The second point is Paul's warning to Timothy in verses 1 through 9. And then in verse 10 and chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, we see Paul's example to Timothy. But before we really dive into those 2 points, the warning and the example, I want to talk a little bit about Paul's relationship with Timothy and how beautiful it is, how beautiful it was, and how much more meaningful the text comes when we consider their relationship. The letter of 2 Timothy is believed to be one of Paul's last letters, if not the last letter that Paul writes before he's martyred. That brings some serious weight to the letter, somebody's last word. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul writes this: "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul knows he's about to be martyred, and he pens this beautiful letter to Timothy. Timothy had served faithfully on Paul's second and third missionary journey, served with him locking arms for 15 to 20 years. Can you imagine the relationship these two men had with one another? Locking arms for Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy, we see how Paul had such a high regard. How Paul had such a high regard for Timothy. In 1 Timothy, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to steward the church there. To steward the church. So he had a high regard for Timothy. He knew that he could respond to the call. Paul loved Timothy like a son. I love in 2 Timothy, Paul starts the letter this way. He says, "To Timothy, my beloved child." Listen to what Paul writes to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2. He's writing to this church in Philippi, and this is what he writes about Timothy. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Do you hear how Paul absolutely loved this young man? Can you hear how Paul had poured his life into this young man and how he understood that he could trust him with the stewardship not only of the church in Ephesus, but he can trust him to be a messenger for him, that he loved him like a son. And so understanding this relationship should make 2 Timothy have more power to it. To understand that Paul is about to go, he's about to be martyred, and he sits down, he's probably in prison, his second imprisonment in Rome, and he pens this letter to his young protege, who have such a common love for one another. And so that brings a lot of weight to this. And so let's look at what Paul writes to Timothy. Paul encourages Timothy to keep running the race. So let's look at, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, Paul warns Timothy. Everybody in 2 Timothy say amen. Amen. All right, look at 2 Timothy 1:15. Look at 2 Timothy 1:15. The whole letter has a tone to it. Paul is passionate about Timothy. He's passionate about the future of the church, and so he pours out this beautiful letter to him in 2 Timothy 1:15. He warns him of these two individuals, Phygellus and Hermogenes. Hermogenes is famous for allowing us to thin our milk so the milk is more palatable. No, just kidding. Sorry about that. I had to throw that out. When I saw that, I said, well, maybe he had something to do with it, but he didn't. So he warns him of Phygellus and Hermogenes, right? And he says, who turned away from him. They turned away from him. They abandoned Paul. They deserted him, probably because of persecution. And so he tells Timothy to watch that, to guard that, guard against that. Look in 2 Timothy 2:17. He warns Timothy of Hymenaeus and Philetus, right? He warns Timothy of Hymenaeus. I don't know why they named people this way in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Can't they just do a John, Mike, Joe? I don't get it, but it's there. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verses 16 and 17, and you get the tone of the letter. It says this, talking about these two men who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who is his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And so he tells them, watch these men. They're swerving from the truth. Guard your heart. Don't be swayed from truth. What an amazing warning that Paul has given to Timothy here. Look at our passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right? He tells them to avoid those two men. Avoid them because they're swerving from the truth. Look at verse 5 in chapter 3. Right? And you can hear the passion in Paul's voice. He says, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. What does he command them? Avoid such people. So if we want to run this race, if we want to run with endurance, we have to guard our hearts against those who are swerving from the truth and those who are abandoning the faith. What a tremendous, tremendous call from Paul to Timothy. Here's what Paul understands because he's experienced it. He's experienced it with these men. He's seen and experienced men and women who abandon the faith, who abandon the truth. And so Paul writes this passionate letter warning Timothy, don't do that. And here's how not to do that. And we could take a lesson from that. And so when you hear a lot of these false teachers, whether it's a health and wealth gospel, whether it's all these messages that aren't in line with the scripture, turn them off. Avoid such ones because they can lead you from the truth. They can lead you from the truth. And so Paul spends almost a whole letter of 2 Timothy warning him against such teachers. So how do we discern from what is a false teacher and what's truth? How do we tell? The Word of God. Right? We don't have Paul here teaching us. Unfortunately, you got me. Right? But no, we have the Word of God. We have the truth of the Word of God. And so the best way to recognize a lie is to know the truth. And so Paul is constantly pointing Timothy to search the scriptures, to search the scriptures, to follow him in that. All right? And so we see Paul warned Timothy about listening to such men who fall away and abandon the faith. And we need to discern that, and we need to do the same thing. And we do that by studying the scriptures. But let's look at verse 10. I really love verse 10. And Paul exhorts Timothy by following his example. And this is where I really love the passage. Look at verse 10 with me. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness. I love, when I read this verse the first time, I'm like, all right, Lord, what does this look like? All right, there's a list here, but what does this look like in reality? If I want to run the race, what do these seven characteristics look like in Paul's life? And I love, if you look in the original language, the tense is to encourage Timothy that he has followed, but it also has in the tense the encouragement to keep following. So it reads like this: you, however, have followed, keep following. All right, and so he's encouraging, if you want to run this race, if you want to fight this good fight, keep following my example in these seven characteristics. It's an exhortation to Timothy and an exhortation to us. So I took a little liberty, and I want to look at what these seven things look like in Paul's life so that I know what Paul's encouraging Timothy and us, what we should look like. And so let's look at these seven characteristics if we want to finish well. He says, the first characteristic, you, however, have followed, continue to follow, my teaching. Paul was passionate about the Word of God. Do me a favor, look at 2 Timothy and look at verse 13. Bear with me here. Look at verse 13. He warns him again in verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. He warns them again, but then he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. What does Paul point Timothy to? The Word of God, the sacred writings of Scripture. Right? Absolutely amazing. We need to follow the Word. Look at verse 16. Then he says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. If we want to run this race, if we want to finish well, we need to be in the book. We need to follow and know Paul's teaching, the Word of God. I want to give you, listen to what one commentator said about this, and I absolutely love this. Paul saw teaching or doctrine as more than just abstract theological concepts. He viewed it as the lifeblood of the Christian faith, shaping our beliefs, shaping our behavior, and ultimately the believers' relation, our believers' relationship with God. Do you understand that? As we understand the truth of the Word of God, it shapes our character, it shapes our behavior, and it helps us to understand what our relationship with God is. I'm going to give you an example. I was born and raised in a church. And in that church, I understood that the love of God was conditional. That as I performed, as I did certain things, God loved me because I was doing these certain things, right? That is conditional love. That's conditional love. And so in my life, I would constantly be on fire for God, and then all of a sudden I'd be down in the dumps because I knew that God was judging me. He was pointing his finger at me. But then when I read Romans chapter 8, and I see that God's love is unconditional, perfect, constant, what does that do for me? The freedom I now live in, because I understand doctrine, I understand Paul's teaching, right? When we understand the truth about God, it helps to shape what we understand about our relationship with him, and it helps to shape our behavior. I remember when my wife and I lived in some condos in Brick, and we had this young couple living next to us. And nice kid, just struggled with a lot of things, struggled with health issues. And he was going to a church, and it was a prosperity gospel church. They were preaching health and wealth. And he would constantly be on his front porch, and I would go over, and I'd try and encourage him. And he's like, Mike, I'm still struggling with health issues. Where's my faith? See, he was taught that if you believed enough, that you shouldn't be sick. And do you see how that false doctrine can now lead you to a spiraling effect? This poor kid didn't even know what he believed. And it's caused him such distress, and my heart broke for him because of false doctrine. And so we need to follow Paul's teaching because that is what's going to help us to finish this race well and follow the Word of God. Look at the second point. To follow Paul's conduct. And so I took a little liberty here. I was trying to think of what Paul's conduct was like. And all I could think of was how selfless and how sacrificial he was. His heart was just for the lost, and his heart was for the church. His heart was for others. Listen to this passage. This is what I thought of when I thought of Paul's conduct. Listen to this in the book of Acts in chapter 14. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. All right? They stone him, they drag him out of the city, supposing he's dead. Think about this as conduct. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Here he is. Think about this man, how selfless he is, right? He's stoned to death. They drag him out of the city, and what does he do? He goes right back into the city. Why? Because he cares about people. Because he's selfless. Because he took on the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. He cared about encouraging and strengthening the churches in their faith. And so when I think about Paul's conduct and what to follow, if I want to finish this race well, I want to be selfless. I want to die to self. And I want to make Christ first. All right? And so we need to follow Paul's teaching. We need to follow Paul's conduct. And this might be my favorite, although all seven of them are awesome. We need to follow Paul's, the third point is his aim in life. You see it there in the text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. He says, follow my aim in life, continue to follow. That aim in life is his purpose, to have one-mindedness, to be intentional, to go after something as an aim in life. Paul knew and had his purpose set in stone. Listen to what he says in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is that purpose? I think everybody's asleep. Sorry about that, if I'm putting you to sleep. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's Paul's purpose. That's purpose. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's an aim in life. I want that aim in my life. If I have that aim in my life, I'm going to finish well. That's what he's encouraging Timothy with, to have that aim. Make Christ, his gospel, his church, our aim in life. And so we need to follow that. We need to follow that. We need to follow his teaching. We need to follow his conduct. We need to follow his aim in life. And the fourth one is follow my faith. That word faith there in the original language is pistis, to be persuaded, moral conviction, to truly believe what you say you believe. Paul believed it. And we need to believe it also. We need to have that same moral conviction. Listen to Paul in Romans 8, 28 and 29, 38 and 39. For I am sure, does that sound like he's conviction? For I am sure, sounds like moral conviction to me, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was sure of that. And he's encouraging us to follow him in this faith. You need to be sure that God loves you with this incredible love. Galatians 2:16, I love what he writes here. Yet we know. Does that sound like moral conviction? It does to me. What does he know? That a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So also we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Do you hear the conviction in his heart? Paul knew he was justified by faith and that he was declared righteous by a holy God. That's a game changer. When I know, this to me changes my life. And this is the faith that Paul wants us to follow in. If I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing I can do bad today to make God love me any less, and there's nothing I can do good today to make him to love me any more, that I am, no matter what I do, listen to this, please, because this is the gospel. That I stand here right now, I can say it, holy and blameless. That's faith. That's conviction. That's life-changing. And I don't say that because of who I am. You know who I am. I'm not great. but I say it because of what Christ did on my behalf. Isn't that beautiful? When you have that kind of conviction, when you have that kind of faith that Paul is encouraging us to follow, wow, we can run this race, we can finish well. The fifth thing that Paul encourages with is patience, and that's patience with people, not so much in circumstances. And I think Paul had a big heart for people only because he understood his own brokenness. Before he came to Christ, he said that he was the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners. And in Christ, he said, "Wretched man that I am." And I think understanding who we are and that Christ has forgiven us and he has shown us this grace allows us to have that kind of patience with others. Who here is patient with people? Who here is impatient with people? Right? Amen? Oh, my goodness. So here's what we need to do. We need to have the mind of Paul, right, or the mind of Christ, but we need to follow Paul, right? Paul knew, here's how you can be patient with those outside of Christ who don't listen to you when you're sharing the gospel. Paul knew that before he came to Christ, he was killing Christians, he was persecuting them, and he knew how bad he was. And so what's he going to show towards them? Because if God showed patience to him, he's going to show patience to them. Paul knew that he struggled in his own flesh as a Christian. So when he deals with Christians, is he going to be patient? Yes, because God's patient with him. And so understanding and following Paul's example in patience is so important. So important. The sixth one is follow Paul's example of love. And that word is agape. We all know what agape is. That's selfless, unconditional love. And who here, when they think of Paul, they think of love? I know I don't. I think of a tough little dude who's going around sharing the gospel with people, getting beat up, getting stones thrown at him, and he's going at it, right? You see this little Popeye-like character going at it. But Paul was a man of love. He loved Timothy. Listen to what in First Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about this, about the church there. He says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but ourselves, because you had become so dear to us." And I'm like, I can imagine myself writing a letter for Paul as he's saying this to me, and I'm supposed to write this to the Thessalonian church. And I'm like, Paul, you really want to say this? That you're desirous of them and that you love them like this? Right? But that's the kind of love that Paul had. I love that scene in Acts chapter 20 where Paul is on the beach with the Ephesian elders and he's leaving and they're hugging on the beach and they're weeping on each other, kneeling and praying, and that's the kind of love he had. And we want to follow that. If we want to finish well, we want to follow that. Let us love one another, the greatest commandment of all. So let's follow Paul's example of love. And then last but not least, number 7, let's follow Paul's, he says, follow my steadfastness. And I love this word in the Greek. It's hupomone, and it means hopeful endurance, right? It's understanding what you have before us that helps you to remain steadfast. And so listen to how steadfast Paul is. You ready for this? 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 40 lashes, that's when they whip you, right? 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Frequent journeys and danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, danger from my false brothers, and toil, hardship. That sounds like a beautiful story, doesn't it? But he remained steadfast. He remained steadfast through it all. Guys, there's going to be times when we're going to face tough times and we're going to want to quit. We got to think of Paul. But Paul had this steadfast, this hupomone, and listen to why he had it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm almost done, guys, I promise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this in verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Listen to what he says. For this light momentary affliction. Did you hear what I just read? That he was stoned, beaten, rods, whipped. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Do you see how Paul remained steadfast? He was hupomone. He looked forward to his hope. He looked forward to his hope. I'm going to tell you how to use this as an example. This morning, as I was coming here, I pulled out of where my wife and I live, and there's a little store there, Jersey Farms. And a guy behind me who was right on my tail, right? He pulled out of the same place as I did. He's right on my tail. And I'm watching him. I'm saying, all right, where's this guy going? He must be in a hurry. And so I keep going straight, and he makes a left into Jersey Farms. And I say to myself, in my mind, I'm like, man, I wonder if he's going for a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich. Man, I wonder if he's about to get a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich and the paper and go home and sit on his back porch and just relax. And I was like, that would be pretty cool. And then I thought of Paul and his example. And I was like, what? What is that compared to coming here and worshiping and being with the body of Christ and encouraging one another? And I was like, where is my heart and mind? And then the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we have to continue to follow Paul in these seven characteristics. It's so important if we want to finish well. And so I'm just going to finish with two applications, two quick applications. Notice Paul knew he was dying, and notice how he's pouring his life into this young man. Paul, I'm sure as he's in prison, is like, what's the church going to look like without me? And we need to have the same mindset here at Emmanuel Bible Church at Renuevo. At our churches, we need to be thinking about the next generation, praying for and pouring our lives into. That's what Paul did. He was concerned about the future of the church. We need to be the same. And then one other application is, understand this. None of us are beyond falling. Paul knew this. Paul saw this and knows it's a fight. So he exhorts Timothy to continue to fight the fight. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. There's nothing better. Amen? Listen to last verses. I love these verses. And this is what I want us all to be able to say. If we follow Paul's example, if we avoid those who mock the faith, right? This is how Paul finishes the letter in chapter 4. And this is what we all want to say. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. There's a promise attached. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, this is Paul talking, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We all have the same promise, guys. Let's run this race. Let's not give up. Let's never give up. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, and we give you all the glory today, Lord. Ah, Father, you're so worthy of everything we have and are. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for your word that directs our steps and our lives. Lord, help us, Father, to be charged by Paul today and in your word, Lord, to go on and run this race. Lord, what a privilege we have. We consider it a privilege to be your servants, to be your men and women of faith, to represent you well on this side. Lord, help us to do it in your power and your power alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.